1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Boeing Starliner finally made it and has docked to the International Space Station after suffering several helium leaks and thruster issues. Space consultant Bill Harwood.
NASA wants everything working perfectly for any vehicle that's getting close to the International Space Station. So they've put off the docking.
Both astronauts now safely aboard. President Biden's in Normandy today, marking 8 decades since the World War II D-Day landings. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is also there and says, we need to stand up to tyrants like Russia's Vladimir Putin to keep history from repeating itself.
If we don't stand up for those rules in our time, then we risk seeing what happened in the time that we're commemorating today.
States out west are still dealing with brutal heat today. Reporter Kevin Coase with KPIX-TV in San Francisco.
Wearing sunscreen, staying in shade, and staying hydrated are highly recommended by health officials during this heat wave.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The ACLU of Wisconsin is suing the city of Milwaukee over plans for demonstrations during the Republican National Convention. The group says the designated protest zone violates the First Amendment. Convention organizers are pushing in the other direction, complaining protesters will be too close to Fiserv Forum. The former warden at the Waupun State Prison is charged with misconduct in office. 8 former guards and nurses are accused of felony abuse. 4 inmates have died at Waupun in the last year. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt says his investigation exposed a host of training, security, and safety problems.
These investigations have shown a blatant disregard for the safety of human beings.
One inmate died of malnourishment. Another was dead for 12 hours before anyone noticed. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is the 80th anniversary of D-Day. That's the name given to the World War II invasion of Normandy. The D-Day operation took place on June 6, 1944. It brought together the land, air, and sea forces of the Allied armies in the largest amphibious invasion in military history. The invasion force included 7,000 ships and landing craft manned by over 195,000 naval personnel from 8 Allied countries. This day marks the invasion that led to the defeat of German Nazi forces on May 7, 1945. You can honor and assist our local war veterans at the VVA Bratfrei this Saturday. They'll be at the West Grand IGA starting at 10 a.m. Stop down for a delicious brat and say thank you for the freedoms we enjoy because of their sacrifice. There's an olive oil tasting at Family Natural Foods next Saturday. Stop down at 11 a.m. on June 15th to taste the Mediterranean miracle. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Milwaukee gets swept in Philadelphia. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. For the third straight day, the Brewers' bats stayed quiet, and Milwaukee was shut out by the Phillies 2-0 on Wednesday. It's the first time the Brewers have been swept this season. Manager Pat Murphy says the Brewers are right there with the best teams in baseball.
Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League. Like, hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys, and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Milwaukee was outscored 7-2 in the series. They'll have a day off before heading to play Detroit for 3 games against the Tigers starting Friday. Tonight is the first game of the NBA Finals. The Boston Celtics host the Dallas Mavericks in the best-of-7 series. Today is the start of the state high school softball tournament in Madison. You can follow along on the WIAA's website. The Packers wrap up OTAs today ahead of next week's mandatory minicamp. Training camp opens up next month. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Mainly cloudy and cooler, as high temperatures only rise to the mid-60s. And we've got those feisty winds whipping out of the northwest, gusting up to 35 miles per hour. and spotty showers do have a chance to sprinkle in this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts. Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll have highbrow conversations about Karen Alito's tramp stamps and other topics of daily import.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this May 28th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, behind the mic, and we're welcoming into our studio, Kayla from the Family Center. Kayla, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate the time, Kayla. I'll let the audience in on a couple of things behind the curtain here. For one, I am a board member of the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, and I always like to journalistically put that out there, as well as Kayla and I usually do this over the phone. So it's the first time having you in studio, I believe. It's great to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to getting into the conversation with you today because this month is Supervised Visitation Month. Can we talk about what that is and what that means to kind of start things off?
Sure. Yeah. So this month we are specifically focusing on awareness for nationally, the supervised visitation. Our program at the Family Center provides this service. We also do supervised exchanges. Of course, this is something that should be talked about every month of the year. The Supervised Visitation Network, which is actually a worldwide organization, has designated May as the month where we put more focus on these services just to, make...
Weight isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb that will one day ruin your health, if it hasn't already. Sick and tired of fad diets that don't work? Wasan Weight Loss offers you the real deal, a natural, effective path to weight loss without the hassle of counting calories or endless gym hours. With our proven program, clients are shedding up to a pound a day. Real people, real results. Hear their stories. Witness the transformation.
Hi, I'm Ivor from Marshfield. I lost 130 pounds and over 60 inches. I've got so much more energy than I ever had before, and I also have the confidence to pursue cycling and kayaking and keeping up with my grandkids.
Wausau Weight Loss offers a groundbreaking approach with no gimmicks or temporary fixes, just sustainable, healthy weight loss. Don't wait. Diffuse that ticking health bomb with Wausau Weight Loss and lose as much as 30 pounds in a month. Visit wausauweightloss.com or call now for your free, no-obligation consultation at 715-502-4748. 715-502-4748. That's 715-502-4748.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wages in Wisconsin are higher than last year. That's according to the ADP Research Institute. Workers who stayed at one job for 1 year or longer saw their paychecks get 5.3% bigger. ADP says Wisconsin's median annual salary is $59,000. The races are set for Wisconsin's August primaries. Democrats are running candidates in 97 of the state's 99 assembly districts. Minority Leader Greta Neubauer says it wasn't for lack of trying.
We had hundreds of conversations with people across the state about running for state assembly. I think if we'd had just a couple more days, we probably would have filled those last two.
Meanwhile, Democrats are running candidates in all 33 state Senate districts. In contrast, Republicans are running in 84 assembly districts and 11 Senate districts. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRA News, I'm Melissa Kay. The annual street dance in Port Edwards is coming up fast. It will be at the Port Edwards Fire Station on June 14th. The fun starts at 4 p.m. with the Port Edwards Lions serving food along with a couple of other vendors. Genesee Depot will take the stage at 7 p.m. There will be cash raffles and a 50-50 raffle too. Parking will be the same as last year, even with the construction. You can stop down for the 37th annual street dance on June 14th from 7 to 11, rain or shine. There's an open house later this month to meet the GI team and tour the new unit at Aspirus Riverview Hospital. You can stop down between 3 and 6 on Tuesday, June 25th. You can meet the gastroenterology team and tour the new GI procedures unit. They'll have light refreshments, and you can enter to win door prizes. No need to RSVP. The ribbon cutting will be at 3. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're looking for something new to watch, you might get some ideas from the 2024 Gotham Just for TV Awards. The big winners, according to Variety, were Netflix's Baby Reindeer, which won for Breakthrough Limited Series, Amazon Prime's Mr. and Mrs. Smith for Breakthrough Drama, and winning Breakthrough Comedy Series was CBS Colin from Accounts. Andrew Scott won for Breakout Performance in a Limited Series for his portrayal as Ripley. He was great. Trina McGee, who played Angela on Boy Meets World, has announced she is pregnant. This might not sound all that newsworthy, except she is 54 years old. Entertainment Weekly reports that the child will be her fourth. Her other three children are all adults from previous relationships. This will be her first child with her current husband. The couple has been married since 2008, so they are either very unlucky or just only recently got around to the whole sex thing. Married couples do get busy. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mainly cloudy and cooler, as high temperatures only rise to the mid-60s. And we've got those feisty winds whipping out of the northwest, gusting up to 35 miles per hour. And spotty showers do have a chance to sprinkle in this afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 62 degrees.
Weather is sponsored by Econ Electric LLC, your neighborhood Generac generator dealership. Don't let bad weather affect your power. Visit Econ Electric in Wisconsin Rapids.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Hear we? What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles joins me to talk about the best kids shows, Summerfest and Ferris Bueller. And I play some highlights from my visit to a recent Bigfoot convention.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this June 6th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're welcoming into the studio our great friend, Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Laura, good to see you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. I want to get into some fun things that you guys are doing at McMillan Library and some other great stuff that you have going on this summer. But if you don't mind, I'd like to start off with a new position that you're looking for and a new hire we're going to have.
Yeah, absolutely. So it takes a lot to make these youth programs happen. And we've talked before that 4-H is a whole lot more than just the work that we do in community clubs. We do a lot, and actually we'll be talking today about some of those outreach programs. And we used to have Jasmine Carbajal, an absolutely wonderful staff person in our office. And she's now with Extension down in Dane County. So just yesterday, we got approval from the seed committee of the county board to rehire her position. So if you're interested in working for Extension, specifically youth, positive youth development programs, and actually the position that we're going to be hiring for, we're really looking for a bilingual, a fluent Spanish speaker, because Jasmine had some fantastic success in programming there. And we'd really like to continue that program and possibly expand it down here to Nacoosa and Wisconsin Rapids. So keep an eye out if it's something that you might be interested in and you want to give me a direct contact to learn more. I would be so happy to talk with you about that.
I know of at least two people that actually, and I didn't think about it until you actually started talking about it. Like, oh, I know at least one person specifically that might be a good fit. And I know many of our listeners out there might. So we encourage you, we'll get you the information on how to reach out to Laura before we wrap up today. But that's exciting. I do want to take a moment to shout out Jasmine. Wonderful. I enjoyed working with her every once in a while. I can't imagine how much fun you guys had and the kids had. We appreciated the work that she did.
Me too. And, you know, I have to say right now is a great time. I reached out to staff that she was working with in Marshfield Public Schools. Just I wanted to be able to talk about the impact that she had from a school perspective. It was really critically important work, and the impact that she was able to have on students, the programs that she was doing in those schools, helping those first language Spanish speakers feel more comfortable so that they could succeed in school. Wow.
It's remarkable to me, not so much how much 4-H has changed, how much it's evolved since you and I were in school to now. It was always an amazing, amazing program. And I used to always look at it longingly, like I didn't think I belonged because I was a city kid and all this stuff. And we've talked about that. But where they have gone with incorporating more tech and incorporating more kids and more options and more things for kids to do and get into. And then there's the other level of it, of the bilingual. And reaching out to that. It's something that I know I'm not alone in. We notice, we appreciate about 4-H, and it's part of the reason why we want to support 4-H and help you guys do great work over there and find good people. Yeah. And it sounds like you found a new good person, too, coming up here, or going to be.
Well, so we're looking for that new person, right? We got so lucky with Jasmine, and we know that there is a fantastic person waiting in the wings, ready to join us to help with that. And we do have another position available for somebody. Maybe you're not bilingual, but you really want to help work with young people in the communities or maybe with 4-H clubs. We're going to be bringing on another AmeriCorps member this fall. So we have had Melina here doing some great programs, but we're going to be bringing somebody new in this fall. So
that's exciting.
AmeriCorps is a really cool program. If you're interested in working directly with youth, give me a call again. I'd love to chat with you about that program.
One of the things that one of the reasons why we love supporting the 4-H is some of the great programs you guys do, and you do such a great job of not only getting these kids out there, having some fun, getting some nature in, enjoying themselves just between us adults, learning a bit and everything, but don't tell them that. Yeah. And of course, incorporating some local businesses and some local nonprofits themselves and working with our libraries, which we love any opportunity to shout out our libraries. You got something cool going on with aerodynamics that I want to get into, Laura.
You bet. So I'm just going to say McMillan Library, Nacoosa Libraries, what gems in the community. You know, one of the things I want to highlight is programs at our public libraries are open to everybody, and they're always free. Mm-hmm. So what a cool opportunity. So yes, I'm coming from 4-H, but no, I am not talking to 4-H members out there alone. 4-H members would be welcome, but absolutely anybody. So we've got a series coming up that I'm super excited about. It's an aerodynamics program. This one is going to be for kids age 10 and up. Hmm. We're going to be using some sharp knives. We're going to be using hot glue guns because we're going to be building both balsa wood gliders and these super cool foam core gliders with a 2-foot wingspan that we can open up and pack things into for all kinds of testing. But it's not just about the building of the glider. It's about learning how is it that we can have these ginormous machines that literally weigh tons of pounds. How can they get up off the ground and stay up there and move? So in building these things, really hands-on and fun, we're going to be learning about the forces of flight. It's going to be a wonderful program. I've done this before for 4-H'ers, and I had to charge. I had to charge $25 per kid to be able to, because the kids are going to be taking these gliders home. Yeah, they are theirs. But through our partnership with the library, it's absolutely free.
Wow.
And because it is in partnership with the library, registration is going to be through the library. Mm-hmm. Space is limited, so we can make sure everybody is safe with the equipment that they're using. And I just talked with Carrie this morning at the library. Registration should be up by this weekend, by Saturday. And what you're going to do is if you're interested in signing up, you'll go to McMillan Memorial Library's website. They've got a tab for events. And then look for these dates, July 10, July 17, July 24, and July 31. Hmm. You'll select on one of those, and that's how you'll be able to register.
I think a lot of us remember making paper airplanes mm-hmm. as kids and stuff. This is a whole other level of that. In so many cool ways. I remember, I was fortunate growing up. My uncle was an architect, and not working with him, but I felt like it because I went with him to work sometimes and everything. So for me, when I would look at these skyscrapers as a kid in Chicago, I didn't just see them. I saw the building of them, the people that made them happen, the construction workers, all this stuff. And to this day, I can't look at them and not see that. And I've always had a love of architecture from this. I have many friends of mine who had family members that worked at O'Hare. Cool. And have gone on to have a love of aerodynamics and some of these things, not maybe even going into that field, mm-hmm. but just a respect and love for it. So that alone is a kind of cool thing that may be, you know, interesting to kids and certainly get them going. But then there's something that you and I always come back to, that mm-hmm. spark.
Yeah.
If this creates a spark in one of their brains, who knows where they go with that? Just from a fun class like this.
Absolutely. And that's just what it's all about, right? Like, I might not have the skills to be able to teach my kids all of these things, but there are people out in the community offering mm-hmm. programs, so I can sign them up and we'll see where it goes. And, you know, there's no fear, right? Mm-hmm. They might catch that spark, and there will always be some other program that some other person puts on, or we can learn together with our kids, which is a really fun and exciting thing to do, too.
It's a great point to mention.
Yeah, and by the way, we might just have to build some paper airplanes with this one, too, because as you talk about memories with your family, when I was growing up, my grandparents had a sunken living room, and we would go over to my grandparents' house, and my dad would always fold paper airplanes. So I didn't know the language of the time. But he would start his basic airplane fold, mm-hmm. and then he would start asking us questions. Do you want a pointy nose or a blunt nose? Do you want bent wings or do you want flat wings? Do you think the wings should bend up or bend down? That was all the introduction of engineering to me. Yeah. And then we could fly that paper airplane, see how it flew, and then we would take it back to my dad. Well, what do you think we should do? How should we change it? So that's a really easy introduction, and it's tons of fun. So long as nobody at the library gets too mad at us for throwing paper airplanes around.
It's one of the few times it might be okay.
And
shout out to your dad. That was an awesome move by him. Very smart. I appreciate you mentioning that and sharing that. This is not all of these things are great. It's also just a lot of fun, mm-hmm. something to do with the kids, too. And there's no bad reason to be checking this out and being a part of it. We'll talk more about this as we get closer to it on our morning shows as well. make sure that when these registration dates open up, people know about them.
Excellent. The one piece we are asking is that if you register for this one, you're committing to all 4 days because this really is a skill building one on top of the next. And that big glider is going to take us multiple sessions to finish and build. So it's not something that you can come in late and be able to catch up and be on top of. Yeah. So.
And again, that actually, I think, has an advantage to it of some consistency for the kids, the routine, and which we can always use a little bit of it during the summer, where, once we try to get them in the fall back to school and on a schedule, that could be rough. Having a little bit of like routine here and there in summer can be fun and actually help you going forward.
You bet. And another real great benefit of this repeated thing is that we'll be pulling kids from different schools and we'll be pulling kids from homeschool and all of that kind of stuff. If they're just in the space together one time, they're strangers. But as they come repeatedly, we already know they are young people with a common interest. Friendships can build in a situation like this where we have the repeated interactions. And because it's a 4-H program educator leading it, you know there's going to be activities that we're doing besides the specific airplane stuff.
Right.
Where we're going to be working to help those young people get to know one another and get comfortable with one another and let those friendships blossom.
We're speaking with Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. And Laura, we love McMillan. We love our local libraries. And you guys are going to be visiting another one coming up in July, the Lester Library in Nakusa.
You bet. So reaching out to libraries in the summer, what a great thing, because families are already visiting them as part of the summer reading programs. And so I just reached out and I said, is there something that we can do? Something extra, something that your young people are looking for. And I just kind of laughed. Yes. We had a sixth grader ask about Rube Goldberg machines. We're not sure about how to make Rube Goldberg machines. Is that something that you could lead them through? And what fun.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with what a Rube Goldberg machine is, it's a really complicated, distorted, and wacky kind of machine. We give the young people a challenge. Okay, and maybe that challenge is to sprinkle some salt on your food, or maybe it's squirt some toothpaste onto a toothbrush, something like that. And then we just give them this random bunch of materials, and they have to figure out how they can put these different materials together to accomplish the task. So that is the challenge. That is the program we're going to be doing at Nakusa.
What a fun one. Now, there are I would think, just off the top of my head, there are at least 50 different like little life lessons kids are going to learn through this and be able to pick up on everything from teamwork to problem solving to incorporating your creativity in the work field and that. So many different things that have benefited me and many, I'm sure even you, Laura, as an adult and as a professional and everything. But this is also just another one of those ones where you guys are so good at this. They're going to learn some stuff. They're going to figure some of those things out. They're going to have a blast with this.
Yep.
I mean, you're basically putting a mess in front of kids and saying, play with it. That seems like a pretty fun thing to a kid. It seems fun to me.
Play with it and you can do it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And no, there is not a step-by-step instruction on how to do it. We are pulling their creative brains like to the forefront. There's no grade at the end. There's no test at the end. So we don't have to worry about like that. What is the right lesson? Nobody needs to be intimidated. And you know what? If they test it out and it doesn't work, they can tear it apart and rebuild. It's kind of like Legos.
Yes. Right? That's the first thing I thought of was Legos.
If something doesn't work, take it apart and try again. And that's what this is. And again, who do I think is going to come to this? I think young people who are kind of intrigued at that thought of like that challenge, or maybe they love building things, or, maybe they're those future architects. You just never know. But again, the kids who come are going to have something in common. So they'll be able to meet other young people. They'll be able to get these challenges. And by the way, I am not releasing the challenge anytime in advance. So for the record, if you're thinking you're going to try and figure out now how to sprinkle that salt shaker or how you're going to squeeze that toothpaste tube, you're out of luck because those will not be the
Smart.
Challenges.
Well done. Well done. That's going to be so much fun. But again, I would be remiss if I wasn't also mentioning that I think that it's so cool to have these these little life lessons for kids to learn and build on as well. We as adults have certain things that I believe are our responsibility, mm-hmm. and one of them is building up our youth. Mm-hmm. And these opportunities, they may not seem like they come around very often, but they are scattered throughout our everyday lives.
Yep.
Some of them are you know, just simple things that you do when you come across a stranger and a stranger or something, and some of them are things like this, where you get your kids involved in this stuff, and there is no... there is no negative to this. There right. is nothing but positives to an event mm-hmm. like this, and fun, and a chance to check out our local libraries as well. Yeah. There's, again, and this is just off the top of my head. Yeah. There are a lot of other things that are going to be advantages to your kids and to your family mm-hmm. taking part in this stuff.
Absolutely, 100%. One thing I want to say about the NACUSA program is there is no registration required. Mm. You know, this is just going to be, I think it's at 10 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, July 30th. Mm-hmm. Just come on down. Yeah. And, you know, if parents or grandparents or guardians, whoever is with the kids, want to be there and watch what's going on, great. If they want to hang out in the library or, you know, read to the younger kids or whatever else, that's great too. This one isn't going to have the sharp objects and the hot glue guns or anything like that. So if you're able to stay, and, you know, that's great. If you have other things you need to do, that's absolutely okay too.
Mm-hmm. Laura, I want to take some time to, first I want to remind everybody that you guys have some events coming up in the Marshfield area. Mm-hmm. I think we'll have you on before then, so we'll talk about those. But we say a shout out to Marshfield. Want to say a shout out to Wood and Marathon County 4-H with their outdoor adventure camp.
Yeah.
You've been really busy with this.
This is one that we just introduced a couple of years ago. And we found that some parents were really kind of nervous about sending their kids away for overnight camp. Overnight camp, by the way, I leave on Sunday. So that is right around the corner here.
Oh, wow.
But we know that kids want to like dive into the skills mm-hmm. that we do at camp. So we've got something local. We're going to have a day camp that features so many of our favorite things about camp. It's going to be at Wood County's Dexter Park in Dexterville. We'll do canoeing, we'll do fishing, we'll do archery, we'll do fire building, we'll do campfire cooking, and all of these sorts of things. And yet again, you don't have to be a member of 4-H to participate in these. That's going to be Thursday, July 18th, and registration is already open right now. We're going to close registration on July 1st so that we can, you know, get all of our wheels. No, what? All of our ducks aligned.
All your ducks in a row.
Gosh, yeah, my brain is just
any
scrambling.
Metaphor works there.
You bet.
Yeah, you know, it all fits. It all fits. And it's a really fun opportunity for these kids and for these parents, as you said, to let them do this without, you know, so like a little bit like your kid's first sleepover. Over being across mm-hmm. the street, it's kind of like that a little bit. What about the ages for this is for, Laura?
Yeah, so this one we're kind of looking at about age 10 and up, kind of like that Macmillan Library program. And the reason, well, this one's because of the fire. They're honest to Pete, going to learn how to make a campfire with one match.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you, if you can never get your charcoal grill started, if you can't get your own campfire started, send your kids to Outdoor Adventure Camp, and you will never have to worry about your charcoal grill or your campfire again.
I mean, that alone, my dad would be signing me up if he could. Like, yeah, there's a plenty of people that are going to sign up for that. We also want to make sure that the parents know they are welcome to this.
Absolutely. So the activities that we're doing here are really family-friendly activities. Personally, when I was growing up, my family didn't do any of this kind of stuff. I got my introduction to all of these things that have become lifelong passions of mine through participating in Girl Scouts. I wasn't a 4-H'er as a kid. I was a Girl Scout. And so I feel like I missed out not being able to do that with my own family. I'm happy to do it with my family now, with my own children. But I think it's really important for us to kind of open this opportunity up, not only to the kids, but maybe the parents too, because maybe you'll see that this is something you would love to pursue as a family.
This is one of the ones you and I are very similar on. I also grew up in a very similar way. It wasn't until my sister was a little older that my mom started getting her involved in brownies and doing some of that with that. I wasn't privy to those kind of things. So for me, if my kids were in that age range and I was doing this, I'm darn sure going with them. Like, I want to experience this. I've never been camping. I want to experience that. And here's a great opportunity to do that together.
Absolutely.
Like, that's pretty cool.
And I also always think it's really cool for parents to take a step back and watch their young people engage with their peers and just see how much they really are capable of. Sometimes it's hard for us to make that transition from pouring the gallon of milk for our children to allowing them to grab that gallon of milk and pour it on their own. Well, watch what they can do when you step back and you watch them start that one match fire.
Yeah, it's even hard when they're in their 20s. It's still hard. And that's a great opportunity. And again, you can register right now.
Yep.
I was testing this out this morning. We could give people the address, but I would say, if you type into your search bar, Wooden Marathon County 4-H Outdoor Adventure Camp, something along those lines, you are definitely going to find it. You can also find out more at 4h.extension.wisc.edu, 4h.extension.wisc.edu. Laura, if people want to call and find out more about some of the other things we've talked about, how can they reach you?
So my phone number is 715-421-8439. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, summer camp is just a couple of days away here, so I'll be gone for several days.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and reach me by email, too. My email address is Laura, L-A-U-R-A, dot Huber, H-U-B as in boy, E-R, at WISC, that's W-I-S-C, dot E-D-U. Hmm. And we also have Wendy in the office, so if calling is the most convenient thing to do, go ahead and give a call, even if you know I'm not in the office, and Wendy will definitely be able to help you too.
And that email address, I mean that web address again, is 4h.extension.wisc.edu. Laura, always love talking with you. We'll talk about these events as we get closer to them on our morning shows. Make sure you guys have a good turnout, and we'll have you join us real soon.
Great. Thanks so much, James.
Thank you for the time. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something.
That'd be cool.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this May 28th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, behind the mic, and we're welcoming into our studio, Kayla from the Family Center. Kayla, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate the time, Kayla. I'll let the audience in on a couple of things behind the curtain here. For one, I am a board member of the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, and I always like to journalistically put that out there, as well as Kayla and I usually do this over the phone. So it's the first time having you in studio, I believe. It's great to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to getting into the conversation with you today because this month is Supervised Visitation Month. Can we talk about what that is and what that means to kind of start things off?
Sure. Yeah. So this month we are specifically focusing on awareness for nationally, the supervised visitation. Our program at the Family Center provides this service. We also do supervised exchanges. Of course, this is something that should be talked about every month of the year.
Yeah,
The Supervised Visitation Network, which is actually a worldwide organization, has designated May as the month where we put more focus on these services, just to make communities across the world aware that they exist, because a lot of people aren't familiar with, you know, these type of services in their community. So we're just trying to shine a light on that and to get a bit more word out to people that might be in need.
Yeah. When it comes to, you know, we've talked about this with the Family Center a lot, the statistics about how it's virtually impossible for somebody out there to not be touched by domestic violence, whether it's 6 degrees of separation or it's closer to you than that. But with that being said, I think sometimes I do this where I think some of these terms or some of the things that we talk about in board meetings or what have you are common knowledge. I think it's a great opportunity to be able to focus on that, people give people some insight into this world. If you haven't been in this world, that's great. That's a good thing. That's okay. It's just this is not only a chance to create some knowledge, to learn something out there, but to create some empathy and give some understanding to these situations that families find themselves in, and really be able to do something that I think I know that in the years that I've talked about domestic violence with friends, with community members and such, one of the things that we all tend to do right away is talk about abuser and victim. And we almost stop right there when this affects so many others. And most important, I don't know about most, to me, most importantly, obviously, just speaking for myself, the kids that get in the middle of this. And this is an organization looking out for them. This is an organization that is trying to make these situations be a neutral party, a neutral third party, and just be somebody who is there to kind of navigate that.
Absolutely. And we know, from... studies that children, when safe to do so, maintaining contact with both parents is what's in the best interest of the child. So there could be situations where there might be some safety concerns, or the parents are working out some complex mm-hmm. issues with custody, divorce, things of that nature. So they do need a spot where they can still see the child or children, but not have contact with mm-hmm. the other parent.
Right.
So, we're there to really provide that space and that neutrality mm-hmm. that so that parents can still maintain a contact and relationship with their children, because that is very important for the child's development and throughout their lifetime. If they have those healthy and secure relationships with their parents, mm-hmm. That is... when that can happen and that can happen safely, that is what's going to be best for the child. So mm-hmm. Our location is a spot then where, we help to facilitate that.
Like a lot of people out there that have gone through divorce, my ex-wife and I didn't end great. And we had some years there where we were a bit a cat and dog. Over the years, we learned that whether we truly were great friends or not, the more we communicated, the better it was for our kids. And so over the years, we have actually become friends again and stuff and have a good relationship. But that stemmed from wanting the best for our kids. And I think a lot of divorced couples or families might see this. But this is just as integral, this stage of it, or this version of it, if you will. It's imperative that we acknowledge this and talk about this some and the depths of it too, because I think that most of us would think right off the gate about this. Well, it's great. It's always good for a kid to be able to have the relationship with both parents. But that what this does for them internally and everything is also a thing that gets brought up in the conversation that I wouldn't have thought of right away. It's not in that situation before.
Yeah, because obviously parent or kids that can have a two parent involvement in mm-hmm. their life statistically are going to be less likely to get involved in dangerous situations, do drugs, not drop out of school, mm-hmm. Etc. So it does have more of an effect than just the immediate situation that they're in. It does affect what the course of their life looks like after this separation or divorce or the household splitting, whatever that looks like, mm-hmm. how that's navigated affects, what the rest of the child's life looks like and the rest of their relationships. So it is very important for parents, to not put children in the middle, talk negatively mm-hmm. About the other parent. However, sometimes when things are fresh, that's difficult. Mm-hmm. So that is why, places like ours, we do we do exchanges as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not, a visit at our facility. It's just a pick up and drop off, the weekend, week on, week off, whatever the schedule might be. Mm-hmm. If the parents might not be at a spot in their life right. where they're able to communicate effectively, or you know, they just feel it would be better if they don't, mm-hmm. Then we're there to help facilitate that mm-hmm. for them.
It's such a difficult position to be in such a gray area position, but it's so appreciated. The work that you, that this organization does, it goes so far. It's truly an investment in our future. Because we're talking about our kids here. We're talking about kids. We're talking about the future here. We're talking about something that impacts all of us. These are kids. These are people that are going to grow up and impact our society, are going to work in our society. This matters to your community. There are no more of the days of, well, this doesn't affect me and my household. Mm-hmm. It affects all of us. And the more you know about these things, the more you're aware of them, the more understanding you can have, not only for people going through this kind of thing, but also, I think, understanding the work that the Family Center does and why we fight so hard for you guys and why we want so much for our community to back you. And I don't have to fight that hard because the community really does. The community has your back and we love seeing this, but we always want more and more. And we always want more and more people to understand the message and what is going on here and this change in our society from when we were born to now. It's light year difference. And that's a great and it's an improvement, but there's still work to be done.
Absolutely.
The awareness of the supervised visitation program, why is this crucial in promoting understanding and support?
Yeah, so we want to make sure, of course, as we talked about, that you know, we can reach people that might not be aware, whether that be community partners or people in the community that know somebody, like we mm-hmm. talked about, that might need these services. A lot of times, you'll get people supervising visits or exchanges for parents that are family members or friends, and that is always, you know, gone into with great intentions. However, the reality of that sometimes often can get messy and can put, you know, that well-intentioned person mm-hmm. in the middle. So they might not be aware that, you know, their situation would qualify, you know, mm-hmm. to come and use our center. It doesn't need to be court ordered. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably a big misconception too. Certainly we take court ordered cases, but if somebody is, you know, just in a situation where they would rather not have somebody, you know, close to them mm-hmm. involved in the custody or the visitation side of things, and they want a neutral party to do it, mm-hmm. We don't need to have a court order. So that is something we do try to get the word out about as well, that if people recognize that, you know, they're in a situation that could mm-hmm. go a bit smoother and they want mm-hmm. a voluntary give us a call and try to set up services, we do that as well. Mm-hmm. So with the Awareness Month, we just want to make sure that we're highlighting all of the services and so that people understand the different ways that they could come into contact with us mm-hmm. You know, and get services going.
Yeah, it varies from it's a wide range of things that you guys offer with this service. So it's great to be able to talk about them, touch on some of this mm-hmm. stuff that a lot of us may have not known about otherwise. Again, creating that empathy, creating that understanding in our communities about this subject, and also as much as we're getting better and better with this, I don't want to normalize too much how great we are. It is in this day and age to be having these conversations and not in a hushed voice and not in a sense of that we, more than ever, people are getting behind this cause and getting behind these things and wanting to understand and know more about them. So the conversation here we're having is great just on that alone, let alone some of the other information we'll be able to get out there. Speaking with Kayla from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, and Kayla, the Family Center is a member of the Supervised Visitation Network. Is that true?
Correct. Yes. Mm. I want to say there's about 800 members mm. worldwide, so different organizations. So mm-hmm. I want to say almost every state, I want to say 49 states in the U.S. Have organizations that are members. But this is a unique organization in that it, you know, does focus on, you know, what we do, mm-hmm. the visitation side of things. That's their main overreaching focus. So we get a lot of intensive programming and opportunities, you know, for training, certification, that kind of thing through this organization, networking opportunities, you know, being able to talk to other professionals that do this work. There's not a lot of agencies in our area, yeah. In general, that do this. So it's nice to have that network of people.
With that network, are you guys able to share, certainly not private information or anything, but mm-hmm. data? Or, hey, this really helped. This is really working well for our center. You guys might want to try this. Or just being able to share data with each other and thoughts, or even a shoulder at times.
Yes. Yep. So they're very good about that, having that kind of there's work groups and there's mm-hmm. different coalitions you can be on, and there there's always people that you can reach out to and ask questions and say, you know, if you're thinking about maybe a way a policy could be done better to better serve clients, and you want to see what might work best for other agencies, mm-hmm. you can kind of put feelers out there and get some ideas on how to improve your own program. So certainly any kind of professional network like that mm-hmm. is really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough scenario. There's no getting around that. These situations that these families are in. Every little bit that we can do to kind of ease or help or at least just make things, you know, for lack of a better word, smooth as they can be for these kids, for these families, is so vital to not only their mental health and their well-being, but to our communities, to these, you know, everybody involved, including you all at the Family Center. It's integral for all of those things. It's a great organization to learn and to know more about. The Center for Judicial Excellence, that you had some stats from that I wanted to touch on, if you don't mind, sure. If we can get to.
I don't know that I have that.
I'm sorry, but I
can paraphrase it.
I'll go ahead and read it here, and you can paraphrase.
Okay.
So, the Center for Judicial Excellence found that more than 950 U.S. children were killed by a parent or parental figure since 2008 in circumstances involving divorce, separation, custody, visitation, or child support. If that was one kid, that'd be too many. Let alone 950 kids. It's hard for me to say. It hits me. And it should. That number shouldn't be something that just comes in one ear and out the other to anybody out there. There's a reason for this organization. There's a reason for what the Family Center is doing. And this is one of the number one reasons right here.
Correct, yes. And unfortunately, that number is probably higher than what they have there. They got most of that data from publicized events and things they could find news stories about. So yes, certainly a tragedy and something that, you know, we try to, we do have our center set up mm-hmm. to try to mitigate a lot of those risks. We have security measures in place, a thorough, you know, intake process. We have processes that we do to try to make sure that, you know, it's as safe as possible for all parties. Which is obviously very important. When you hear a stat like that, we want to make sure that we can make it, a safe environment for everybody involved.
Yeah. Again, we're speaking with Kayla from the Family Center, and Kayla, with the little extra time we have here, did want to take a moment to touch on a subject, attachment styles, when it comes to this.
Yeah, so we talked a bit earlier about how, it is in the best interest of the child mm-hmm. when it's safe to do so, to maintain contact with both parents and have that consistency. And what that ends up leading into can be their attachment style later in life. So we develop what our attachment style is in relationships, so how we interact with others early on in our life. Yeah. So there are secure attachments and there are insecure attachments. What we want to strive for, for our children are those secure, healthy attachments.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, sometimes, when there is not, that both parents being involved consistently or suddenly there's a shift in dynamics mm-hmm. That can shift that attachment style. So maintaining contact, like doing visits, mm-hmm. Even though it might not be, what either party is wanting to do mm-hmm. is so important for that child's development. But also how it's going to affect the rest of their relationships throughout their life. So later on, when they're even in friendships or their romantic relationships, mm-hmm. that all of that is affected by the attachment style that develops in childhood. And that kind of comes about by children, you know, learn if their needs are going to be met or not, mm-hmm. and if there's going to be consistency or not. So if there is a parent that is not there, they see sporadically, mm-hmm. they have a time scheduled to see them, but they don't show up, they learn that they can't count on that parent, for their needs to be met. Mm-hmm. And then that leads, you know, into, unfortunately, issues later in life, relating, you know, to others as they move through their life in their relationships. So with that said, once again, being able, you know, to have that consistent contact with both parents is setting that child up for the best possible start that they can have and in developing, hopefully, those secure attachments with both parents, even if, you know, they're going through a situation where they're not seeing the one parent as much as they used to.
Yeah. Regardless of what might happen with you and your partner, your job as a parent never changes. They come first. Their well-being comes first. And even in these kind of scenarios, that doesn't change. That is so vital and so important to these, and especially when it comes to these attachment styles, which I don't think a lot of us have really dived into much and thought of much or heard much of. So appreciate you taking the time with that and taking the time with us and hanging out with us, Kayla. I really do appreciate it. We're looking forward to having the Family Center join us a little bit later in June. We're going to be talking fundraisers with them. That'll be a lot of fun. Very much looking forward to that and talking about some of the great events they have coming up. Kayla, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, should we just encourage them to check out the website to reach the family, reach you that way?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So go ahead and check out familyctr.org. That's familyctr.org. If you haven't done so already, be sure to bookmark that webpage, familyctr.org. Also encourage you to follow this Family Center on social media. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date on all the things that they are doing over there. And of course, keep in mind that the Family Center has your back. They have a crisis line that is available 24/7, 715-421-1511. That's 421-1511. Again, thanks for the time.
I just wanted to give my direct number as well, because that will go right to the visitation program. We have a few different numbers.
I didn't want to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. We do have a few different numbers. So just, you know, if they have any questions directly, our visitation program phone number is 715-424-6185. That's 715-424-6185. And I also do want to say, too, that if anyone in the community, whether it be a potential community partner or just an interested party in the community, mm-hmm. wants to call and set up a time to pop in and see the facility, see what things look like, have some questions answered, see what the layout is, you know, what kind of space we have, what activities we have for for the kids and their families, we can always facilitate that. So anyone is more than welcome to give us a call, and we can set up a time for anyone to stop in and you know, get a bit more personalized experience and see the space a bit more.
It's very good to know. Thank you for that, Kayla. And say hi to everybody over there for us. We appreciate the work you all are doing. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a TGIF edition. We have Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World with a week in review, and Brady Ewing taking a look at sports. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Beau Biden's widow, Hallie, testified today in Hunter Biden's gun trial about finding a revolver in his car and throwing it away in 2018 over fears that he'd hurt himself. CBS's Erica Brown is in Delaware.
Hallie Biden's testimony is critical to prosecutors as they try to prove President Biden's son illegally purchased and possessed a Colt 38 handgun in 2018.
Temperatures are creeping closer to 100 today in Auburn, California.
It was really hot today. It feels like a sauna.
That girl and millions more sweating it out again in the West and Southwest. And President Biden warned democracies at risk if we don't stand up to dictators and tyrants like Russia's Vladimir Putin. He's in France today commemorating the D-Day landings that changed the course of World War II.
Our honored veterans met that test of ages, the test of ages to that moment. 80 years ago.
Ukraine's still fighting Russia in Europe. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st.